Well, brethren, the world we live in today is not a very patient world. Most everyone wants a quick and swift solution to their everyday life experiences. Whatever we do as we go out each day, we want it done quickly. Whether it's shopping, whether it's our appointments, our eating, our travel, whatever. You know, we're surrounded by fast food places. You know, they're dominating our eating today. And of course, they have drive-through service. So we don't even have to get out of the car. You know, they just shovel it through the window to us. We have convenience stores everywhere. And over in Tulsa, Quick Trip, it seems like every 2 miles there's a Quick Trip. Now, Quick Trip is a convenience store, a real nice one. Tulsa's the home office to Quick Trip. So they're expanding all over. I'm not sure if they've come over into Arkansas yet or not, but we have Jiffy Lube and we have Speedy Lube to get our oil changed in the car. We have high-speed internet. We have streaming videos at just the touch of a few buttons. If the computer doesn't respond in 2 or 3 seconds, we get all frustrated. What's wrong here? You know. So for many, patience is not in their vocabulary. And businesses know that. And they attempt to satisfy customers as quickly as possible before losing those customers to someone else. And of course, as with many other things, the world rubs off on us. And we too become impatient creatures and impatient Christians. The Word of God, Holy Scripture, encourages us to be patient and long-suffering in our Christian journey, no matter what trial or what condition we find ourselves in. We are to be patient. God is a very patient God towards us. He patiently waits for each of us to grow and overcome and repent and perfect ourselves before Him. And how long does it take for us to do that? You know, I've been around many, many years now in the church, and I'm not quite there yet. I've still got overcoming to go. And with confidence, I believe God is being patient with me. God gives us His Spirit to help us in all of this and to produce the fruit of that Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and many of you know what that verse leads to. I'll quote it here in part, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience, long-suffering. You know, fruit is produce. It's the product of God's Spirit. It's what we will have if indeed God's Spirit is in us. Patience is one of the many virtues and benefits of that Spirit that God puts within us. If we have truly submitted ourselves to Him. If you and I have God's Spirit, then we should find patience and forbearance in our lives and the desire to develop it even more fully than what we have today. We're always on the verge of losing our patience at times. We've all got our little, what's the right word to say to that? Trips us up and triggers that cause us to lose our patience. We need to, with God's Spirit, develop that when those triggers happen, we do not lose our patience. Now, I want to talk about patience today, about endurance in our walk with God. You know, as God is patient, so should we be patient in our dealings with each other, with our families, and those in the world. And that's a big task, to be patient with. You know, it's probably easier to be patient with each other. We're kind of all on the same wavelength. But our families, well, you know, that's stretching a little bit. And then the world, whoa, I've got to be patient in the grocery store in line, you know? Yes, we do. We should try to be patient throughout our path of living. We should be steadfast in our faithfulness to Jesus Christ in spite of the evil, anxious, hurried world that surrounds us. It's going fast-paced all the time. You've just got to slow it down at times. So I've entitled this message, Our Patience Before God. Our Patience Before God. Now, having patience involves living a life of perseverance, of endurance. Those Greek words are all similar. Patience, endurance, perseverance. Perfect patience includes suffering long and not complaining when times get tough. Now, do we ever complain? We do complain. You know, one of our many duties as Christians is to put on and exercise the fruit of patience until the return of Jesus Christ. So whatever that is, we've got to exercise patience in our lives. Let's see that in James chapter 5. James chapter 5 verse 7, this book of straw that Luther liked to refer to it as. In fact, I think for many of us, it's one of our favorite books. It's so practical in our day-to-day life. James 5, verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Verse 8, you also be patient, establish, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. You know, none of us know when Christ will return. It may be shorter, sooner. It may be longer than we expect. We have no idea. We know, we feel, we're in the end times for sure. Things are happening in the world that are falling into place in Europe, Middle East. We see things that it really comes down to God's timing. When does God want to wrap things up? But with true patience, we can endure whatever time element it is. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. We just don't know. The scripture says, be patient until Christ returns. Nothing must shake us and interfere with our quest to receive God's kingdom. So you see, that's why we have to be patient. And that's all the more as we go into an increasingly impatient world. And I don't see it slowing down much. You know, technology today is speeding up the world. And so the world is going to go at a faster pace. And with that rapid pace, I think it creates all of this impatience within us. Let's continue on in the book of James now in verse 9. James 5 verse 9. Do not grumble or complain against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge, Christ, is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. If we look back, indeed, each prophet of old suffered in their service to God. That's part of the job description of a servant of God, is suffering at times. And we too, as disciples of Christ, can expect to suffer in our service and our patience before God. Verse 11, going on to verse 11, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. You know, Job endured tremendous difficulties, and in return, he received God's compassion. Patience brings its own special reward from God. It's one of the fruits of God. And there's a blessing as we apply those fruits. Our Christian duty is to stay calm in the face of misfortune or persecution and wait for God's compassion and His blessing to come as we practice patience. It's God's Spirit that grants us patience as we in faith rely and depend on Him and His Word for everything in life. Our whole life is in Christ Jesus. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Paul here writes, verse 4, for whatever things, Romans 15, 4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know, our ultimate hope is attaining God's kingdom. That's probably the prime definition of hope spiritually in the Bible, is hoping, our hope in God's kingdom, eternal salvation. Scriptures provide us comfort in this because they give us answers to things we cannot find elsewhere. When we have answers, we have comfort. Answers to why we were born, why, what is God's plan? What is sin? How can we be reconciled to God? Sadly, the world ignores these answers. And each year, they seem to move further away from God and from the only source that can give them true peace and satisfaction. Man looks for solutions apart from Holy Scripture. Carnal man on his own is convinced that he can solve his own problems, but he cannot. The problems of men are mostly spiritual, and spiritual problems and their solutions can only come from God's Word. So if you eliminate God from even any source of finding an answer, you're not going to get an answer. A solid, long-lasting answer, that is. Now, staying there in Romans chapter 15, continuing on, verse 5. Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is even the solution to the problems of the world, to glorify God with one mind and one mouth. And that will eventually happen after Christ returns. The man is refusing now to even entertain the thought of going to Holy Scripture to find solutions. You know, if you become a politician, any type of a government leader, if you rise up as a person in power, no longer are you permitted to quote Scripture, to reference God in your management, in your solutions, in your plans. You'll be scorned. You'll be ridiculed. So the world is throwing away the only source of true solutions, God's Word. You know, brethren, life as we live it is ruled by time. Time. We work, we play, and we schedule all of our life events around the clock. We get up at a certain time. We go here and there. We come home. We're ruled by the clock. God puts time over us into our lives by the heavenly bodies, the sun and the moon. You know, and our patience also deals with this dimension of time, to be patient for a few hours, a few days, a few weeks. There's time involved in patience. We frequently wait and wait patiently for God to act on His will in our lives. Yet, the great God we serve is not ruled by time. God is not physical. God is eternal, spiritual. He's not ruled by a dimension of time. He doesn't view time as we do. Of course, He understands us. He created us physical. He understands the dimension of time, but He doesn't view it the same as we do. God chooses to perform things as He wills them, knowing the perfect time to intervene and bring His desired blessing our way. And usually that's not the same as what we would desire. You know, we would like quick solutions, quick answers to our prayers. God knows the perfect time that He can bring that solution and develop character at the same time. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 2 Peter 3, 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack or slow concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, God suffers long toward us in providing opportunity for us to repent and overcome our weaknesses and our lack of faith. Many times we quickly judge others, and we don't give them opportunity to repent and overcome and grow at the rate that they need. God understands that, and God gives us that time. He's very patient. I can remember when God first began to deal with me, drawing me to His truth. At that time, I mostly believed, but I wasn't quite ready yet to forsake totally this world and commit myself to Him. I was in that process. And I can look back now and see that God was being very patient with me. He was allowing me to to work through this process of conversion and repentance at a pace that I needed. And as God was willing to endure, you know, for 3+ years for me to come to that final point of submitting myself to Him and to coming to the point of baptism, God showed that patience to me. I can look back and see that now. And many of you would have similar stories to tell of the length of time that you took from the time that you first heard the truth of God and began to accept it and then come to the point of baptism. I've heard some people being so cautious with God's calling that they took 20 years or more to finally humble themselves before God for baptism. And you know, God was just patient for that 20 years. He was in total control. He knew what the situation was, but He was allowing character to be built during those 20 years. God was willing to suffer long with them and with all of us. And why? Why would God allow someone that long? Well, we just read it. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God is so patient. I think it's hard for us to envision His patience when we look at ourselves and the patience that we have. We see similar thinking from the Apostle Paul here, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. So let's turn there if you'd like to. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Here Paul is writing to Timothy, a faithful servant. Verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I, Paul, am chief." You know, Paul considered himself the first, the foremost of all sinners. Verse 16, "However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first," that is, Paul being first and foremost of all sinners, "Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering, patience, as a pattern, as an example to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life." So Paul saw that in himself, the patience of God. And Paul, you know, he had to look back and see some of the sins that he committed against the church in his earlier life. And that probably never left him. He knew God forgave him, but still it probably haunted him somewhat. God wants you and me to be part of His family. He's willing to suffer long until the right time comes to bring us into His everlasting family. And so we too must suffer long in this world. We have to persevere and forbear no matter what trial or what life issue comes our way. You know, we do have some tough times at times. We have sickness, we have job issues, we have family issues, financial issues. And we have to be patient in some of that. I'll talk about that shortly. But all these problems and issues are part of our calling. You know, whether it's the issue is physical or it's spiritual, we have to keep our focus on the big picture, God's kingdom. That's what can really make the difference in our patience, in our faith, in suffering long, is seeing that kingdom in the big picture down the road. That's where we have to keep our focus. Now, what are some of these life events that I just mentioned that do require some patience on our part? Faith and patience. One is when healing from sickness is requested from God. You know, God perfectly understands our health concerns and ailments. In 1 Peter 5, it's written that God cares for us. God knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So whether it's our own personal healing or that of others, God makes us wait at times for our faith to be known. God causes us to wait. God's in the business of developing godly character, which includes patience and faithfulness. And as we appeal to God for His mercy in our sufferings, and healing many times is just an act of mercy to make a person whole, whether physically or spiritually or mentally, emotionally. You know, we have to endure until He acts. We have to suffer long and endure until He acts. And let's remember that our physical healing, when we say the word healing, we focus so much on the physical aspects of healing. But really, physical healing is only a type of, you know, the ultimate spiritual healing that we all desire from God. Our ultimate healing is eternal salvation. That's when we will be made completely whole, when we're changed from physical to spirit. Another example of patience is when financial trials test our livelihood. And there's probably not one of us that hasn't gone through some financial tough times. When we can petition God and ask God to increase our family income, and if we do ask God for more resources to come our way, at the same time, we must be willing to do our share, to modify our expenses, to reduce and lower our standard of living. You know, many times people keep their same standard of living in tough times, and they want God to increase the income. God may say, no, I'm not going to let that work this time. I want you to be active in reducing your expenses, lower your income. You may have to turn off the cable, cut the cable, as they say. Those are just individual decisions, and I'm not, you know, that's not a blanket command there whatsoever. And in Matthew 7, we're encouraged to be active in asking and seeking and knocking on doors for God to open, that a blessing may come our way. And we do. We have to be faithful in praying and asking God. And it may take a lot of persevering and knocking on many doors and seeking counsel from many people until God rewards us with some economic turnaround. It will come. God's in total control. He can provide that extra income at any moment, at the perfect time. But it takes patience. We have to always sincerely do our part when we go and petition God. Another example of patience is when we're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, this doesn't happen really that often. We may think it does, but it doesn't happen that often. It can happen when we interface with those who have no respect for the Word of God. who do not believe in God, who despise maybe our beliefs in God. A good example is losing a job or losing some blessing because we choose to obey God rather than man. Now, some of us maybe have lost a job because of the seventh-day Sabbath. But generally, with patience and perseverance, God supplies a better job at the chosen time. You see, when we lose that job and we go to God and ask for help, then God's got this perfect opportunity to build character in us. And he wants to see faith and patience and perseverance and endurance. And when that time comes that, yes, we've done those things, and God's that perfect judge, then he can open up a door that we are knocking on. So, you know, not all of our trials are due to righteousness' sake. In fact, most of our trials are simply just maybe time and chance, you know, accidents, decisions that we make, whatever. We choose to go this path and it doesn't work out, and so we have to resolve that problem. Well, that's not being persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, righteousness' sake is when you're obeying God and you get punished for that. You see, you're persecuted for that action, like keeping the seventh day Sabbath. When real persecution happens due to obeying God, when that happens, well, that's the time to rejoice. In Matthew 5, says that our reward from God will be great when that happens. So, you know, that's one of those conditions that's hard for the carnal mind to accept, to be happy, rejoice when we get persecuted for doing and obeying what God commands. Another example of needing patience is when change happens in our lives. You know, most of us kind of resist change. We don't like change. You know, most of us kind of like the status quo. We like the samey stuff, the routine. And whether at work or school or even at church, you know, we tend not to like change. If there's a change that comes into the workplace, you know, can drive us crazy. Yet change happens, and we have to face it with patience. Companies change to provide, apparently, maybe a better product to meet the competition or to improve a process. You know, so they change something. Well, that affects our routine, and we don't like that change. You know, change causes stress in our lives. But again, we have to accept change. It's a prime example of where patience and perseverance can win out on these changes. And lo and behold, once in a while, change works out for the best. It really is a better way, you know, though we don't like to admit it. Sometimes, again, administrative changes happen, you know, in the church that we're just not so sure about. You know, recently the Good News Magazine, it was announced that the Good News Magazine will be renamed the Beyond Today Magazine. Well, I would say even in a little group like this, you know, there's some of us are okay with that. And some of us may say, well, I don't know about that. I kind of like the old Good News name, you know. Well, patience and time will bear it all out. So we just have to be patient and see how God works that out. You see. and even on a much higher level than the change that happens in our life, God wants change in each of us. He wants us to stop being carnal, sinful people, even though we sometimes like being carnal, sinful people, you know. He wants us to change. Few things in life go unchanged. Benjamin Franklin wrote in 1789, "In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except for death and taxes." We've all heard that quote. Yet, you know, someday, even death and taxes will go away when real spiritual change occurs. You know, when we're changed over to spirit and death is gone, death is conquered. Death is no more, and no more taxes, you know. But for now, change happens, and when it comes, we must be patient and persevering and keep our focus on staying close to God. The Bible has dozens of promises that we can claim before God. To claim them requires patient waiting. God generally doesn't answer and fulfill a promise before we get up off of our knees. He usually doesn't do that, you know. He requires us to be patient, and he wants to see how much faith we have and confidence that he will fulfill that before us. The ultimate promise, of course, is spiritual salvation. And truly in comparison, nothing else really matters but to be, you know, in God's family. So that's the ultimate of all promises. But God's promises are mostly without the dimension of time. You know, he promises this, he promises that, but doesn't particularly tell us exactly when or how in Scripture how that blessing will come about. He says he will do this or do that, but he never tells us, well, in 2 weeks I'll do this, or I'll do it in this particular way. You know, God again wants to see our faith. He wants to see what we're made of. He wants to see our steadfastness before he fulfills those promises. Yet, of course, we're temporary. We're fleshly. We live with this dimension of time over us. So we want quick answers. But they don't always come quick. And that's the test of being, one of the tests of being a Christian. We have to wait until God answers. Now, I think we can remember the story of the Old Testament story of Joseph, who by circumstance served in Potiphar's house after being sold into slavery. Joseph was falsely accused, later thrown in prison. No doubt Joseph prayed often to God to be freed, to be released from prison. Yet God allowed Joseph to stay in prison for at least 2 years. At least 2 years. Now that's a long time, relatively. 2 years of our life. A guy could have easily done different. But he chose what was best in his plan for the life of Joseph. He could see beyond what Joseph could see. Joseph couldn't see probably beyond those bars, you know. But God could see beyond that. And God could see that Joseph needed this for the future that God had in store for him. could we have endured 2 years in prison, even if we were placed in charge of all the other prisoners, as Joseph was? Could we have retained a faithfulness to God? Joseph had to exercise patience until God released him. And Joseph later went on to become a great leader to the Egyptians. Joseph passed that test of faithfulness and patience. Now, if we continue the story flow, we read in Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. You don't need to turn there. Particularly, I'll read it. Exodus 1, verse 8. Now, there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war, that they may also join our enemies and fight against us and go up out of the land." Verse 11, "Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses." Now down to verse 14, "And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor." So speaking of change in someone's lives, we have never experienced a change like that, a change of being free people and becoming slaves. You know, the Israelites had real change to adapt to after the death of Joseph. You know, all the freedom, all the prosperity that they had, they lived in the glory of Joseph. Joseph was highly honored by the Egyptians in the earlier days. But they changed their lives into one of bondage and rigor. In Exodus chapter 2, we see the birth of Moses and him being reared by Pharaoh's daughter. And after growing up, Moses fled Egypt for Midian after killing an Egyptian. In Acts chapter 7, you don't need to turn there either, Acts chapter 7, 23, it tells us that Moses was 40 years old when he fled to Midian. After spending another 40 years in Midian, God decided to reveal himself fully, face to face, to Moses and send Moses on a mission to rescue the Israelites from bondage in Egypt and to lead them out into a land flowing with milk and honey. We know that story very well. My point is that the Israelites had been groaning and crying to God for help since the time before Moses was even born. They served in bondage and rigor before the birth of Moses. God was fully aware of their oppression and sorrows, yet God, in his perfect wisdom, chose their time of deliverance when Moses became 80 years old. Again, God views time different than we do. 80 years. Many Israelites died in bondage, patiently waiting to be delivered. They looked to God to be delivered. So, in comparison, how patient are we in times of sore trial? You know, can we keep the faith and vision necessary for our personal deliverance and whatever issues that we have in life that come our way. I think we can. I think we can if we want to bad enough, you see, if we apply the fruit of God's Spirit of patience, and if we fix our hope on God's kingdom, we can endure all things. You know, hope helps to stabilize our patience. It helps support our patience. In Hebrews 6, it talks about God making a promise to Abraham of a son. And Abraham patiently waited and endured until that promise arrived. Abraham had to wait 25 years for that son Isaac to be born. Abraham was 100 years old at the time. Could we wait 25 years for God's promise to come and be fulfilled in our lives? That's a true test, 25 years. But yet, we need to attempt to be patient and wait until God responds, you know, to our petitions. And we can help each other in doing this. We can encourage each other to be patient, to keep focused on God, and to not give up. In Romans chapter 12, you don't need to turn there, but in verse 12, Romans 12, verse 12, Paul is encouraging the people, lifting them up, giving them advice how to live a Christian life. And in verse 12, he says that as a group of people, we should be rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Three actions. Three actions. You know, the Christian path requires us to fight against the natural course and the nature of man. You know, there's always some person, or let me describe, there's always some jerk out there that drives us crazy, you know, on the road, in the office, at school. And we have choices, don't we? To get angry, to get frustrated, to lash out, to do stupid stuff ourselves, or to just bite our tongue and to let it be. Move on. Be patient. And of course, that latter approach is the Christian approach. It's part of being that new man that God wants us to become. Paul and the other apostles suffered greatly in their service to God. Are we not to suffer some in our service to God? James, the brother of Jesus, understood this patience and how it helps us to grow and become a more mature Christian. In James chapter 1 verse 2. James chapter 1 verse 2. Again, James is a wonderful book. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. They go hand in hand. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So if we can be perfectly patient, we may become more perfect as a Christian. Our spiritual maturity is dependent in part on our patient actions today, what we do today, tomorrow, next week. You know, we never should discount the virtue of patience. God draws a strong difference between those who are patient and those who ignore the fruits of the Spirit and go off and serve unrighteousness. You know, brethren, as the end time approaches, there'll be a greater need for all of us to have a more steady supply of endurance and faith and patience in our lives. Persecution of God's people will come at that time readily by the hand of civil and religious authorities. We don't know again when that time will come. We can get inklings in the news of things again falling into place. We have a pope today who is very active, very bold, willing to make changes. We have a Russia that is becoming bolder. Putin is wanting to taunt Europe today. Europe is seeing a need to build its own military. The Mideast is in shambles. We don't know how all that will turn out for a strong king of the South to come about. So we see these things, all these potentials out there. And again, God has his timetable. He knows exactly when he's going to pull this string, when he's going to allow Satan to do this, to bring it all together. Christ spoke about the end time in Luke chapter 21. Let's turn there. This is a very interesting chapter. Luke chapter 21. It's the parallel chapter to Matthew 24. Luke chapter 21, verse 10. Then he, Christ, verse 10, then he, Christ, said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven." Verse 12. But before all these things, so before these things come to a head, before all these things, they, the authorities, will lay hands on you, on God's people, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues, or houses of worship, and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Verse 13, but it will turn out for you an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. And when that time comes, Christ will be with us in all of this, giving us the right thing to say by his Spirit in us. Verse 16 now. Verse 16. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. So, sadly, some of our relatives, I mean, this is a hard verse, hard scripture here. It takes faith to believe that this will actually happen. But it seems very clear. It takes no interpretation. It's very clear. But some of our relatives and friends who do not understand us, who may think that we are some group of hateful extremists, some cult that's against the current social order of the day, you know, not accepting the social politics, the social morals, the religion of the day, because we're holding fast to what Scripture claims. So we're very different. We stand out. Most of the rest of the world has caved in to the change of what the leaders of the world have brought about. And so these relatives and friends may betray us to death. Turn us in. Report us. And with today's social media, I mean, you know, everybody knows everybody if you are part of that. It's very easy to track. Governments can track us very easy. They may say they're not going to do it anymore, but do we trust them that they're not going to do it anymore and track us, you know? Again, this is a hard scripture, but it's very clear. Verse 17, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost." Verse 19, "By your patience possess your souls." Now, many translations word this, "by your patience, by your endurance, your steadfastness, you will gain your lives." And that's probably referring mostly to our spiritual lives. By being faithful and patient to God, we will save our lives spiritually. The parallel to this in Matthew 24 is in verse 13 of Matthew 24. Let me just read that. The parallel verse, Matthew 24:13, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." The subject matter here basically involves salvation. Our faithful, enduring patience to the very end is what God desires. And he's going to bring some of us to this point to test who we are and our level of patience and faithfulness, because we will need that testing. To have what it takes requires a close and constant relationship with God. Never should we doubt God's word. If we doubt, we are somewhat telling God that he's just incapable of caring for us, of protecting us, of loving us, saving us. God is the source of our life to the very end. We have to keep focused on him to the very end. Again, we do not know when the end will come, but it's always good to humble ourselves and redeem the time and rededicate ourselves to being a true servant of Jesus Christ. Last scripture. I'm going to use the same general scripture that Mr. Sandy used. Revelation chapter 14, beginning in verse 8. Revelation 14:8, and we're going to get some background and context here. And this is, again, speaking of the end time. "And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." So we're speaking symbolically here, speaking symbolically of her immoral deeds, her lifestyle. It's contrary to God. Verse 9, "Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. And now verse 12, and to those that do not worship the beast. Here in verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. So, as the end time approaches, as times get worse, we must not only focus on keeping the commandments of God diligently, knowing the law, keeping the Ten Commandments, faithfully observing his days and laws, and not only having strong faith, as mentioned there in verse 12, the faith of Jesus Christ and all that he stands for, but each of us must maintain a good supply of patience and endurance and perseverance. And this is how we can weather the bad times ahead. Piece of cake, right? Well, these are tough times ahead, but we can do it if we keep the big picture of God's kingdom always ahead of us. As we go out each day, and as we live by faith, we have to keep God's kingdom always in the foreground. We can't get sidetracked off into the world. We have to keep God's kingdom ahead of us. So in conclusion, brethren, let's ask God, maybe even daily, to supply our need of patience to possess our souls, to ensure that we live on into God's kingdom. Let's be confident that Jesus Christ lives in us and that his fruit of his Spirit is being produced in us, and that long suffering, that patience, is being actively used within us. And let's serve God as first fruits. In all sincerity, being open-faced to God. And let's look forward to next week, the coming Feast of Pentecost that will soon be here. And let's present ourselves on that holy day before God as his first fruits, and patiently look for the salvation that he has in store for us.